called 12 men that he was going to train, 12 men that he was going to teach, 12 men that he was going to share that mission with. We call them apostles. And in the Gospels, there are a few lists of the apostles. One is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. This is how Luke recalls it, or this is how Luke records it for us as he has done his research. He said, "On one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night there praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." And then Luke gives us a list. Simon, who's also named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, another James, James the son of Alphaeus, another Simon, who's called a zealot. A zealot, he may have been an especially patriotic Jew who was working against the Roman occupation. There was a group of people called zealots. Or he could have been just a real excitable person. We're not really sure. But Simon, who was called the zealot, Judas, the son of James, there are two Judases. It was a pretty common name back in the first century. And then bringing up the rear, Judas Iscariot, and Luke adds the comment that Judas Iscariot was the one who would become the traitor. And so that's a strategy. I'm going to get these 12 guys together, and I'm going to disciple them. And notice there are two terms in this passage in Luke chapter 6. There's this term disciple, and then there's a term he designated them as apostles. And they mean different things. A disciple is a student, it's a pupil. It's someone who sits at the feet of a rabbi, a teacher. Rabbi is the Jewish name, the Hebrew name for the word teacher. And so he called them disciples. They were to learn, they were to follow, but then he designated them as apostles. The word apostle means someone who is sent out, and usually sent out on a mission, some type of commission. And so these 12 were not just to learn about Jesus or learn the message of the kingdom of God, but eventually Jesus would send them out to participate in communicating what this message of Jesus was all about. And then as we continue to read through the Gospel of Luke, that's what we see Jesus doing in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, he calls the 12 together. He gives them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And then verse 2, he sent them out. And that word sent them out is the verb form of the noun apostle. He apostolized them. That's not a real word. I'm just making that up. But he apostolized them. He sent them out on this mission. And so he gives them some instructions in verses 3, 4, and 5. And then in verse 6, so they set out. They went and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. He teaches them. They follow him. They learn from him. They are disciples. And then he says, it's time for you to go on this mission. And so after this mission, we don't have many details about what happens on this mission, but after that, Jesus continues to teach. He performs some more miracles. It seems as if more and more people are interested in what he's talking about, interested in the kingdom of God. He gathers more followers. And then we come to the next chapter, Luke chapter 10, and then Luke records another mission. But this time it's not the 12, it's now been extended to 72 others. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them. And again, that word sent them, you guessed it, it's the same word. It's the verb form of the word apostle. He apostolized them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And so these disciples, these 72 disciples, are also called to go on a mission, just like the apostles, the 12, were called to go on a mission. So they, in a sense, were apostles as well. Now, let me just make this point. I believe that the 12 are special. I mean, those are the capital A apostles, and there are some qualifications to be a capital A apostle. Read Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. But in another sense, every disciple, everyone who learns from Jesus becomes apostolized also, becomes an apostle. And the strategy for them is the same as it was for the 12. I'm going to make you disciples. You're going to learn about me. You're going to sit at my feet. But then you go on a mission. So that mission is extended to the 72. And I get the sense from Luke, and I get the sense from the rest of the New Testament, that that is the calling of every disciple. We learn, we sit at the feet of Jesus, we become pupils and students, but then we are apostolized as well. We participate in communicating to other people this message of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul wrote several letters, and he kind of plays on this concept in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He uses a different term. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me give you a little background before we get to this verse. Paul is talking about this reconciliation that we've experienced, this new life that we have in Christ. Reconciliation means that once we were apart from God, but we've been made friends again. And he says, you've all participated in that. I've been reconciled to God. You've been reconciled to God. Now God has called you to what he calls the ministry of reconciliation. So now it's you talking to other people, reconciling them to Christ. And then he says in verse 20, again, he doesn't use the word disciple or apostle. He uses this word ambassador. Only time it's used in the New Testament, but I think it carries with it some of that similar meaning, because an ambassador is someone who is given a mission to represent someone else. And he says, we therefore, and he includes all of us, all of the believers, we are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So the mission of disciples is to become apostles. We have an assignment. We have a mission. And so what I want us to do in the next few weeks is just to revive that mission, remind us of that mission. Look at that mission in Luke chapter 10. That's where I want us, that's what will be the next several weeks, Luke chapter 10. I want us to look at that mission that Jesus sent those 72 on. And granted, that's a unique mission. He doesn't send us on that exact mission. This was a specific instructions to a specific group of people. And so maybe not everything will apply to us. But I think as we look at that mission that Jesus sends the 72 on, certainly we can learn some things about the mission that Jesus sends us on. That we can find some inspiration and some guidance as we remind ourselves that we too are on a mission. So let's go back to Luke chapter 10, and I want us to just look at the introduction to this mission, and then I especially want us to just take a few minutes and look at Jesus' opening statements to these 72 apostles. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them, apostolized them two by two. There may be a good concept right there, is that we, as we go on mission, that we share that with someone else, that we gather people around us and we work together in that mission for encouragement and support. But he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So we're preparing people not to receive us, we're preparing people to receive Jesus, because it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about how convincing or how wonderful or how eloquent you can be. It's about us getting people ready to hear the word of the kingdom of God, to hear about Jesus. Verse 2, so he told them, and these are the words of Jesus, he gathers them together and he says, here are your orders. He huddles them up and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There are three statements that Jesus makes here in this opening assignment that he gives to the 72. Number one, he says, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus is saying, there's a bunch of people out there that know nothing about God. There's a bunch of people out there that are totally hopeless. There are a bunch of people for whom religion, they were very religious people. They all knew the Old Testament. It was the Jewish people that he was sending them to. They knew the Bible, but somehow they'd lost a connection between the Word of God and God himself. And so they weren't feeling any power. They were just going through the motions, it seems. It had become more of a social thing. Yeah, I'm a Jew, but it really didn't mean anything to them. And Jesus says, there are a ton of people. The harvest is plentiful, and he uses that agricultural imagery that we can relate to. We all know what that means. He says there are so many people out there that need to know the kingdom of God, that need to know the news of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it, so it's true. So as we interpret passages, as we approach biblical passages, one thing we need to ask ourselves, what did it mean to them, And then what does it mean to us? And so Jesus said there are a lot of people that need to know the news of the kingdom of God. Jesus said it's true. And so we need to ask ourselves today, is that true today? Are there any people out there that have no hope? Are there any people who don't know the joy of the kingdom of God? Are there any people who really may be religious or maybe know some of the stories but don't have a deep, meaningful, a saving relationship with God? Is that true today? You make the call on that one. You know, much has been said from this pulpit about the decline of Christianity, how fewer and fewer people are going to church, and that is a reality, at least in the United States. But around the world, there are hundreds and hundreds, thousands of thousands of people coming to faith in Christ. Sometimes we're just so limited in our scope of the kingdom of God. But then again, think about it this way. If there are less people going to church, there are more people that need to go to church. Isn't that true? It used to be, when all of you were growing up, some of you are younger than some of us, but for the older generation, it used to be, hey, everyone went to church. You know, all your neighbors went to church. Everyone that you worked with went to church. And so it was, everyone seemed to have a relationship with God. Not so anymore, is it? I would bet that there are people that you work with that have no church family, that don't have a deep, meaningful relationship with God. Maybe they call themselves Christian, and there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and I don't know if they have that deep, meaningful relationship with God. Used to be at school, everyone was going to church, but now I bet you kids at school know a lot of kids that are not going to church. In our neighborhoods, everyone seemed to go to church, but it's not the case anymore. So Jesus said to them, the harvest is plentiful. I know it was true because Jesus said it was true. We can't doubt that. Is that true today? I kind of think it is. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know the joy of the kingdom of God. A lot of people who don't have the hope that we have. And then he says, the workers are few. Now, this mission was just beginning. I mean, this is pretty early on Jesus in Jesus' ministry. It may have been that these 72, that was the whole workforce. That may have been everything. In fact, the 12 apostles may be included in the 72. We don't know. It doesn't give us all those details. But it's not a huge amount of people. So Jesus says, yeah, I got you guys, but we need a lot more people to participate in this mission. So again, Jesus said it was true. We believe it was true. Is it true today? Are the workers few? Is this true today? Well, let me tell you, the church can never have enough people spreading the good news. We can never have enough people spreading the good news. But one thing that we discovered several months ago, we did that survey, the Pray People Purpose Survey, where we encourage everyone to pray, to be in church, to be reading their Bibles, to have that connection with the Lord, to be worshiping God. And then we had the people where we are involved, that we have these spiritual relationships like we have in our discipleship-making communities and the classes that meet and other ways that we get together, that we walk alongside people. And then we have purpose, where we use our gifts and we serve, we're servants, we're holy, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and then we're also servants of Christ. Well, one thing that revealed of the 200 people that filled this out, we're real good at talking to each other about Jesus and sharing our lives with one another, and we feel comfortable sharing our faith with other people. But what that survey revealed is a lot of people are struggling with talking to other people about who Jesus is, and having the courage or looking for those opportunities to see themselves as apostles on a mission spreading the news of the kingdom of God. And so this is an area of concern. This is an area of struggle that we have noticed in that survey. We struggle with sharing our faith. The kingdom of God needs you to be an apostle. The kingdom of God, Jesus is continually working for more people to go into his harvest. It seems like all over Texoma, and this may be true of all over the country, you go into a store, you go into a restaurant, almost everywhere has a sign, now hiring. Isn't that true? Do you see that all over the place? Everyone's hiring. Well, guess what? Kingdom of God is hiring too. The kingdom of God needs more workers. All of us need to see ourselves as people on a mission. Then the third thing Jesus says is, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. When he says, ask the Lord of harvest, I think there's this implication that, all right, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to have someone else. I think he's saying, you people who are involved in this harvest, you people who have been apostolized, you start asking for others to join you. So he says, ask the Lord of the harvest. And again, God is in charge of this. God is the one who's going to harvest. We just prepare people for Jesus to come into their lives. Ask the Lord of harvest. There are some other English translations that translate that word ask a little more strongly. Like the English Standard Version says, pray earnestly. The New American Standard Bible says, beseech. You know, really ask God, hey, God, send some more workers. He says, really passionately beseech, passionately pray that God will bring more people into this mission of spreading the good news. We're going to go through this whole strategy, but the first strategy, the first thing Jesus says, if we are to become people on a mission, is to pray. And that's what I want to challenge you in today's message. I want you just to start praying. I want you to pray for yourself. God, help me to see that you are not just teaching me, but then you're sending me on a mission as well. I want you to pray for other people. God, just bring your spirit upon everyone who calls themselves a Christian, everyone who is a Christian, just to feel that responsibility and that privilege to go and tell other people. I want to challenge you just to look around you everywhere that you are. Where you work, where you go to school, where you hang out in your neighborhood is just to be a person. Realize, you know what? I am on a mission for God. God has called me into this mission to share the news of the kingdom of God with everyone. And I said, that's my challenge. It's not my challenge. It's Jesus' challenge to you. Ask the Lord of harvest to send out more workers into his harvest field. Here's a prayer that you can say to yourself, or it's a song that we used to sing when I was a kid. I'm sure many of you know this song as well, but listen to the words of this song, and let this song be the prayer for you as you feel Jesus calling you out on mission. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Sometimes we maintain, sometimes we just hang on, sometimes we just keep things going. But the Church of Jesus Christ was not meant to maintain. The Church of Jesus Christ was meant to be on a mission. And you know, someone was on a mission for you as well. Someone told you about the kingdom of God. Maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend. Maybe God worked through the Spirit in a vision. I don't know. God is always trying to call people into relationship with him. As we have received this good news, let us share this good news with other people. We'll stand up. We're going to sing a song in just a second. Stand up. This song is actually celebrating what God has done for us, that he has made you a son and a daughter of the King. And so as sons and daughters, we just love this family. We just feel the new joy and a new hope and a new purpose. And so as his sons and his daughters, we want to be people who are reaching out to others and telling them what a wonderful Father is waiting for them. Basil.
Who am I that...